cross for us, he still laid down his life for our sins. And he tells them, do love each other the way I have loved you. That is an important command that we are given today. We're not to love because everything goes perfect and everybody does exactly the same, what we want them to do. There are many times it is that Jesus had a little bit of difficulty trying to get his disciples to understand. And he would get frustrated, but he still loved them. He still encouraged them. He still directed them to follow him. He didn't give up on them. That's something we have to realize as Christians. We're not to give up on each other. We're to keep loving. Keep loving each other. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Jesus telling them what he's about to do, preparing them for what's to come, but also demonstrating to us what he's doing for us too. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So we know what it takes to be a friend with Jesus. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus revealed all things to disciples, and through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit, all things have been revealed to us so that we are not blindsided, but we're prepared for what is coming. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. We see in verse 16 some simple words that he tells his disciples. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Jesus, when you look at the life of Christ in the Jewish order of things, a rabbi would choose their students. They would choose the best of the best, and who wasn't chosen would go back to their own livelihood. And here you have the disciples that were chosen by Jesus. He went to them independently and he chose them, except for one. Simon was brought to him by his brother. And so you have an example of Simon, but then later on we get another taste of this, another side of the story. When Jesus is walking along the sea, he goes to Simon. So we know that all the disciples were chosen by Christ to be his followers. We see that he had a plan for them. He knew them. He knows you. He has a plan for you. You're still here for a reason. God still is using you in the life of those around you for his purpose and his plan. He doesn't want to miss out on the relationship that is available to anyone. He wants to use every single person that is available to his for his use, to bring every single person that will respond to the call to come. But I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. we're called to do one thing and one thing only. You know, it's interesting. I don't see in this passage, I called you to come to church. I called you to sing wonderful songs, which wonderful things, don't get me wrong. I love every part of the assembly of the brothers and sisters in Christ. I adore my church family, and I adore the opportunity we have each week to come together and to fellowship together. But in this passage, what I do see is Christ's command was, go and bear fruit. Go and make disciples, is another way to put it. His last command that he leaves his disciples on in the Great Commission is go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I command. Here we go back to this passage. What is that command? Well, it's repeated twice in this one little section. Love one another. Verse 12. And then verse 17. This I command you. Love one another. We're here to love one another. We're here to show the world what true love is. Let me tell you, there is a distorted, mixed up view of what love is in our society today. You don't believe me? Look at it. Look at the concepts of love in the movies. Look at concept of love in the songs that people sing. Look at the literature that is being made, that is being written. Look at the concepts of love. I'm actually afraid to experience some of the love that the world is promoting out there today, because it's not genuine God love that we should be practicing in our lives and sharing with those we come in contact with. Verse 15 is a very important verse in this section again. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. We have it right in front of us. Do we put emphasis on the Word of God in our lives? Do we dwell in what the Word of God has to say to us? You know, a lot of times I hear everybody else's view of what the Word of God says instead of what the Word of God really says. I want to encourage you and charge you. This morning I mentioned this in beginning of the sermon, talking about when we approach Scripture, we should come fresh and come with no preconceived ideas. And as I was greeting people on the way out, one of the fellows that was, as he was leaving, said, I never heard that before. Nobody has ever challenged me to come to Scripture with a free thought instead of coming with all the, I've always approached Scripture with these preconceived ideas and these already determined notions and all this stuff that I've already heard about before I even read the Word of God for myself. Think about this for a moment. Do you know what the Word of God says, or are you instead still dwelling on what someone else told to you the Word of God says? Unless you read it for yourself, you're only getting a watered-down version. Because the Word of God is God's Word to you and to me. It is mutually inclusive, but is also exclusive. Because some days, some verses don't mean anything to me. But then other days, those verses mean a lot to me. Why? Because the Word of God transforms the lives of the readers, and when you live out the Word of God, when you are the Bible, going back to Karen's message earlier, when you are the Bible that people read, they will see God's Word living and active in your life so that they can bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus in their life. That's what we're here to do. Make disciples, bear fruit, be fishers of men. All of these things, all of these charges that were given to the disciples were not just for the disciples, but they were for us too. And we're here to multiply. We're here to bring more people in so that they may have this opportunity that we have tonight. It's also in the golden rule. What is the golden rule? Well, it's love your neighbor as yourself, right? Isn't that the golden rule? You love the way you want to be loved. Well, aren't you grateful someone loved you enough or loved us enough to share God's word with you? So if you love your neighbor the way someone loved you, you should be sharing this word with them so it can be living and active in their life. Transforming power that is available to you will be available to them, and the Holy Spirit will be available to them too. All it takes is just a little spark, and a whole fire can consume them. But it takes someone motivated to love them the way you want to be loved. It is important that we do what Christ put us here to do, and that is to love one another so that the world will want more of what we have, instead of thinking we have to fit in with them. They want to be with us. Let us pray.